Find Monday Night Talk on Facebook and share your opinions. Go to 959watd.com/Monday Night Talk. We now return to Kevin Tachi and Monday Night Talk.
We are back here on Monday Night Talk. Just the last segment that we'll be doing tonight is courtesy of Peter, because I didn't realize, Peter, you were on the board of directors for the Plymouth Area Chamber of Commerce, but what board aren't you on?
Yeah, exactly. Well, I'm vice chair this year for the Plymouth Chamber of Commerce.
What does that come with?
Lots of responsibility. Okay. So, and tonight we'll talk about, we have a joint adventure, joint after hours at my shop tomorrow.
That's correct. Yeah. And also we got Bob Nolet.
Yep. He's going to talk about the lobster crawl.
Ooh. Mm. Yeah, so the thing down at your shop, some of the zany pictures coming out of your shop.
Yes.
With that, that's pretty cool.
Yeah.
We got Claudine Reed. She'll also be here as well, and we'll talk about the crawl and what's going on with
that. Very interesting. Bob Nolet's got it hooked up. So
does he really?
Yeah.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So that's what our segment will be about. Now, we turn our attention and our focus to our very first guest, and that is State Representative Matt Muratori. Matt, welcome back to Monday Night Talk.
Thanks for having me.
Where do you want to start? A couple of things that we can kind of get off and running, whether it's district things that you want to kind of talk about for a few moments, this gives you an opportunity to kind of talk about some of the things that you've been working on up at the State House, whether it's for the district or for the Commonwealth as a whole, whether it's, you know, ad nauseum, the past couple of state reps or senators that we've had in here, they've talked about the opioid bill that was signed by the governor. Whether you want to weigh in on that, you can. I know we just had the solar bill that was signed, but that's kind of as we were talking off here, you said that's kind of a microcosm to the bigger picture, so to speak. We talk about that. I'll let you pick your direction if you want. Or you talk about Joe Rossi's fantastic flood insurance summit that he had last week. It's up to you.
I'll leave that to Jim Cantwell. That's his baby. Well, yeah, first of all, thank you for having me. And Peter, thank you so much. You changed my wife's windshield today.
No,
so I
thank
appreciate
you for
that.
Yeah, she was
appreciate
awesome.
That. So, we're actually going on a family trip this week, so we needed that windshield.
She was awesome. So. Yeah. Thanks for calling us.
Yeah. Well, actually, first of all, I think on the opiate bill, I want to address that a little bit. As you know, it was landmark legislation that happened in the Commonwealth and really the first in the nation. And the biggest thing for me is that it really, as a healthcare guy, I'm a healthcare professional, and seeing that we are now treating this as a sort of a behavioral disease is huge. Mm. Getting rid of that stigma is a huge thing. And also, you know, obviously getting people help and getting some money in there. So that was huge. The solar bill, as we just touched upon, you know, that was just signed by the governor today. Both House and Senate voted back in September on their bills, and they didn't mesh, so there's a conference committee put together, and, you know, it took all this time to get that settled. But, you know, I don't think either side was happy with it, but like you said, it's only a small portion of what's going to happen when the governor puts together his bigger energy bill that's going to be coming out. Because you're going to need all forms of different energy. I mean, of course, the power plant is actually going offline.
Right.
Pilgrim, either next year or in 2019. So you've got to replace that. So there's a lot that has to be done. And it's not going to just be solar is not the only answer. You've got to look at hydropower and all sorts of other things in order to generate the energy that's going to be needed. So
the folks who, have you heard from any of the folks who deal with solar? Do they feel that the cap was sufficiently lifted, or is this something that is going to have to be an amendment down the road somewhere to further increase the cap limit?
I think you'll probably see some amendments. I think people are, it was mixed. They were happy that at least it was lifted. I think they were looking for more than what it was lifted from. So again, I think you'll see this come back probably later in the year.
Now, some of the stuff that I was reading up on, looking at, what were some of the other sticking points to the particular solar bill that you either watched or that you heard colleagues talk about? Was it a matter of, you know, when it went, and if there was an excess when it came to solar, how it was being, you know, received by the grid? Was it stuff like that?
It was more about the percentage of the cap. I mean, the percentage of the credits. I think that's really what it was boiling down to. Mm. The House didn't do, you know, that much, and I think the thinking was the Senate was going to go higher. I think the House did 3%, and the Senate did 4%. I think people were thinking they were probably going to go to 10%. And so there was really a small gap there. But again, sometimes when you when both sides aren't so happy, then maybe it's not too bad of a bill. I think that's where we stand with this.
With the solar bill and the people financing it, have you addressed that issue as far as when they try to sell their house afterwards, where it's attached to that? You know, they go to say
like it carries over to the new owner.
It carries over to the new owner. And sometimes with some of the agreements that they have, the homeowner has to pay for it before it gets sold. Have they addressed that issue?
Yeah, that was not addressed in this.
Okay.
No.
Okay. Something that's very interesting. As far as in your district, I mean, are you noticing more solar panels? Are you seeing more people invest? Because myself, I didn't realize until probably maybe 6 or 7 weeks ago, driving around certain parts of the South Shore, and you're seeing more and more homes where you're seeing the solar panels on the roof. Not everybody can be able to have solar, their home fitted for solar, but I believe that there's other ways if you want to invest in solar energy.
Yeah, you're definitely seeing a lot more homes having it. And what I'm noticing, too, is not the entire roof either. Sometimes it's portions of roof that are actually have solar on them. But, you know, Plymouth has been somewhat of a leader anyways. The school system, the school committee has, over the last several years, have added solar farms throughout the area to the point that now all the school buildings in town are all strictly on solar. There's a solar field off of exit 5, off of Route 3 that you see. So we've been somewhat of a leader in that area anyways, and I think this bill will help actually some of the projects that were stalled actually continue to be built now.
What were some of the other things that were bundled in with this particular bill? Was there anything interesting or anything of note?
No, I think that was, it was just the percentages that actually increased. I think that was a stumbling block, and I think that happened, and it helped the industry at least, like I said, these stalled projects actually continue to move forward.
Plymouth recently just had, past a week or two, had their town meeting?
Yeah, it was
What's that like? What's that like being a representative instead of being a selectman where you're kind of in there hip deep?
You know, I'm glad you brought that up. It was kind of interesting. I didn't know what to do with myself. I actually got appointed to the Finance Committee in 2005. So I actually started out in town meeting back in 2005, was on there for 5 years. Mm. And then in 2010, when I got elected to the Board of Selectmen, I saw it from that point. And now I came to town meeting, and as a state rep and a senator and Rep Coulter and Senator DiMacedo and Rep Hunter, you know, we stood up front in the beginning of town meeting and spoke about the state of the state and was there for about 5 minutes. And it's like, okay, now you're done. Now we're going to move on to our business. And I kind of hung around for probably for most of the morning, just kind of observing and watching, but not really able to get involved, and I finally just left.
You can't vote, though? Aren't you?
Can't vote. Still, no, not a town meeting member.
Oh.
Yeah, no, so there wasn't a lot to do. I'm not a selectman, and I'm not a, you know, not a finance committee member, so really wasn't a lot to do.
Kind of stuck in neutral.
I went home and watched the rest of this, to be honest with you.
What were some of the questions, though? I would think, being a state representative, what some of the things that you were asked by constituents in regards to Plymouth's budget for fiscal 2017?
Well, I think the biggest thing, obviously, is the sewer problems. The sewer lines that broke over the winter. There was 3 breaks there.
Oh, my goodness.
And it's the selectmen finally voted to have the entire system replaced to the tune of $48 million. So, you know, the question came to us is, you know, what can the state do to kind of help with that, whether it's interest-free loans or low-interest loans or grants or something like that, and that's what we're kind of working on right now to try to get that for the town. But I think that was the biggest thing that actually came out of it for us.
But a relatively quiet town meeting, you would say?
Well, I don't think town meeting is ever quiet.
No.
No. I think there's a lot of good debate like there always is, and you know, the best decisions are made, and everyone lives with them afterwards.
Any particular discussion on a particular article that intrigued you? Because when you sit through enough town meetings, you know, the articles that you think are going to have the most conversation usually have minimal, and the ones that you like on, oh, that should just fly right by, usually are like, you know, the piece of metal that gets stuck on the carpet and ends up ripping it up.
There was one year, I always tell this people about, is that I think I was on the finance committee, or I may have just become a selectman, at the time, and there was, I think at the time, it was $165 million budget that there was not one question asked, and it passed overwhelmingly. Yet there was a riding lawnmower on the Capitol budget that went for an hour and a half debate about that.
Really?
About the riding lawnmower, yeah. Yeah, but you're absolutely right. There are things like that happen. One of the interesting things that happened at this town meeting was the CPC was up for debate, whether to continue it or not, or to lower the rate. So there was interesting debate and discussion about that. And the town finally voted to keep it in place.
Something that I know we didn't have a chance to talk about, but it weighs heavily. There's a primary tomorrow for the former state senator Bob Hedlund's seat, the Plymouth Norfolk Senate district. Give me your thoughts on seeing a race like that materialize. I mean, do you pay attention to something like that? Seeing that seat, you'll have a new member of the South Shore sitting there at least for till September, November.
Yeah, you know, it doesn't. I don't really pay a lot of attention to that being in Plymouth, and you know, and I think we're unique in this area, and I know Peter can probably attest to this as well. You know, that we have a mixture on the South Shore of Democrat and Republican, you know, reps, and of course we've got, you know, Senator DiMaceto is a Republican, but it doesn't seem to matter for us. We all seem to kind of work together on whatever the issues are, because I think that's what we're elected to do. We are elected to work together, and we find compromise among one another. So we're able to work with everybody. I think it's somewhat unique compared to what I see throughout the Commonwealth.
We had the Pembroke Chamber had the legislative breakfast two Fridays ago, and we had Josh Cutler and Matt and Vinny and Jim Cantwell. And it was an hour and a half of a discussion like you would sit in somebody's living room. And the four of them, we talked about the opiate issue, the solar projects, the everything that was going on in the South Shore. And you wouldn't think there was two parties in that room.
No, we play off each other very well. A lot of times we are asked to go places because sometimes it gets kind of funny too.
Yeah, exactly.
Together.
Yeah.
But you know, that's what it's all about, working with each other. And it's worked well for us.
One of the things that I thought maybe you might want to bring up in talking about a big anniversary for the town of Plymouth, America's hometown.
America's hometown was celebrating 400 years of the Mayflower landing in the Plymouth colony in 2020, and the town of Plymouth has been working on this for almost a decade now when the committee was first formed. The last couple of years, it's really been put into high gear. You know, license plates were just put together, and you see all the license plates out there now.
I got mine.
They've got mine. My wife and I have ours.
Yeah.
And people can still get license plates. All the money goes to the 400th. So they've been raising some money. They've been raising, and the state has put in a couple hundred thousand each year for the last 4 or 5 years. But it's really 3.5 years away, so there's a lot more work that needs to be done. The signature events are all set, but we need to start raising some significant dollars, somewhere to the tune of $20 million.
Wow.
And all of that will, a good majority of that will come from the private sector. This is not just a Plymouth event. It's not just a Plymouth County event. It's not just a Commonwealth event. It's a national and international event. We're working with our partners in Plymouth, UK, in the Netherlands now. They are involved with this now. And we are looking to have a state commission. We met with the Baker administration a couple months ago. A state commission is being formed as we speak. A majority of the 28 members of the state commission have been appointed. That will be announced by the governor within the next probably 3 to 4 weeks. The importance of the state commission is that now they will help private-public partnership to raise some significant funds from the private sector. It signals to the rest of the world and the rest of the United States that there is a significant event going to be happening, which will help people like, you know, Ocean Spray and companies like that around the world to actually start investing in that. And once the state commission is done, then there'll be a federal commission that'll be formed as well.
Mm. Do you think there's enough time left, though? Is there enough time left to raise $20 million?
Absolutely, because I think the hard part has been done. It's all the planning. Now it's just getting the money. And you get some major corporate sponsors, you know, at $1 million, $2 million each. It won't take long to actually raise that.
Okay.
Jamestown did it in a couple of years when they did it in 2007.
So it is achievable.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yeah.
Let's take our last few moments to talk about somebody who was thought as a champion to the taxpayer, Barbara Anderson. And as I said, we are speaking with State Representative Matt Muratori, who is here, our guest for the segment. And I believe we're going to have Holly Robichaud from the Herald join us for a few moments as well. Give me your thoughts as far as this particular individual and some of her work when it came to speaking on behalf of the taxpayers, if she saw, or the organization that she worked for saw improprieties when it came to giving it to the taxpayer, yeah, so to speak.
You know, I had the pleasure of meeting her once, and I was right before I was elected a state rep, and I think it was in 2009, mm-hmm. there was the GOP had a seminar on how to run campaigns and all that, and she actually spoke very, very dynamic. But in watching her over the years, she was probably, you know, one of these people that was probably one of the most powerful non-politicians there was in the Commonwealth. You know, when she spoke, people listened. She was the type of person that would have facts. It's hard to argue when you have facts on your side.
It's true.
And she always did that. So it was a great loss, I think. And I think both sides of the aisle will probably agree that it was a great loss for the Commonwealth. And you probably won't see some champion like her ever again.
Well, just some of the information that Citizens for Limited Taxation announced when they had said that she had passed away last week. Actually, it was last Friday when she passed away. Yeah. She battled leukemia. I didn't realize that she had retired from being the executive director of CLT last year, but was staying on just to kind of, you know, as needed. I mean, we've had the chance to speak with Chip Ward, who does a fantastic job, but we've had her on this program many times to talk about certain initiatives or things, or, you know, whenever the House has Senate, the governor released their budget and let her kind of give her thoughts on it, especially during the good years with Deval Patrick. You know, you never knew what was going to happen in regards to various taxes that were going to be put forth in order to be able to balance the budget. And she would speak openly and freely about said taxes, whether you know it was needed, or you know what could be some of the alternatives to such proposed taxes. So,
and that's the key, right? It's the alternatives. I mean, some people just bring the problems, and you know, this is a problem. You can't do it, but don't bring solutions. Mm. But she was able to do that and get people to listen.
And I actually had a chance to read. One of her final columns was published over the weekend. She did a column for the Salem News and also the Eagle Tribune, and along with, I guess, if you have a chance to read it, it is up. I had a chance to see it, and it was inspiring as to, like, the first sentence is basically, "I'm no longer here. I'm dead." And you know, it's like, whoa. Yeah. But then she would kind of go on to talk about the importance of what she did in life itself in general. Yeah. And
it was not surprising she would end it that way.
No, and it was like, it was just amazing. Like, if you're reading this now, I'm not here with you. Yeah. It's like
powerful,
you know, very powerful, mm-hmm. but yet, you know, gave a dose of reality. And even published a poem that she wrote. She wanted to be a poet. She liked writing. She felt that she excelled at writing. And it was interesting to read that last poem of hers that was published.
Remarkable one.
Yeah. Well, if folks want to get in touch with you, they have anything they want to chat with you about in regards to being, you know, in your district, how can they reach you?
They can reach me at the State House at 617-722-2014, or my email at matthew@masshouse.gov.
Now, I believe, do we have Holly on the line?
Yes, we do.
How are you, Holly?
Good. How are you, Kevin?
Hi, Holly.
We're good. I want to at least give you a couple of moments to kind of talk a little bit about Barbara Anderson.
Yeah, really sad passing. I understand she, you know, developed leukemia, and you know, she'll be sorely missed. She was an inspiration, you know, for when we decided to do the gas tax initiative last year, and fighting to, you know, stop automatic gas tax hikes. But you know, she, you know, I remember her from her days at the State House where she, you know, fought for Prop 2.5, mm-hmm. always making sure that it was you know, that they weren't able to, you know, change it or weaken it. And I mean, she was a tenacious fighter on that. She was a tenacious fighter on rolling back the income tax as promised to 5%, and a real friend of the taxpayers. And you know, every time people go to pay their property tax bills, they should thank her for, you know, for them not being much higher.
Right.
Absolutely.
Yeah. How important is it to have leaders like Barbara Anderson's to at least be there to create balance?
I think it's very important. I mean, you know, as you know, the legislature is overwhelmingly Democrat, and having more voices standing up for the average taxpayer is critical up there at the State House. It seems that so many people get elected and forget, you know, the just the hardworking taxpayers that, you know, go to work every day and pay those bills, and but yet there's so many on Beacon Hill that think, well, you know what, well, we could just add a little bit more here and a little bit more there, but, you know, it all starts to accumulate here, and that's why they call us Taxachusetts. And Barbara certainly had her work cut out for her trying to change that over the years, and I'm so thankful because of my property taxes. You know, we have pretty high property taxes in Scituate. I can't imagine if she hadn't done Prop 2.5 what we'd be paying.
Well, we want to thank you for joining us for a couple of moments, just to kind of, you know, knowing somebody who works on the conservative side of things, somebody who talks about the virtues when it comes to, you know, what's happening up on the State House. I thought it was important to have you on for a couple of moments just to kind of extol that.
Oh, anytime. I appreciate it. You know, it's a real sad day. A major loss for the taxpayers of Massachusetts, and a loss of a good conservative voice up there.
We'll have to have you on in a couple of weeks and chat more.
All right. Thank you so much.
You got it. There she is, Holly Robichaud, columnist for the Boston Herald. Thank you again, Representative. We're going to step aside when we come back. More Monday Night Talk. Don't go anywhere.
This is Monday Night Talk with your host, Kevin Tachi, on 95.9 WATD.